The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If you confess your sins, are they really gone? Well, that's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hello and welcome to the show. This is Grace in Focus, and I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for joining us. Currently, we're in a series where we're taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And I just want to give a shout out to John and Alice Valderez.
That's right. At Victor Street Bible Chapel.
Good people. So last episode, we were answering a question from Alicia, and it was about a blog you wrote, Can Christians Get Away with Murder?
Yeah.
The big idea is that even though God forgives you, that doesn't mean God takes away all the consequences,
right?
Either here or at the judgment seat of Christ. That's
right.
That was kind of the big idea, right?
Right, it was.
After the show, we got to talking about, well, what are some follow-up questions that people might have about that? And you were giving an example of how people might think it's cool to be able to just confess their sin and be consequence-free.
I mean, isn't it fairly common in evangelical circles to say, if you confess your sins, they're gone?
God says, removed as far as the east is from the west, right?
Right. So ultimately, what a lot of people have been taught is there's no accountability.
Maybe they've been taught that Jesus took the accountability.
Right. So at the cross, Jesus took the penalty for all our sins.
Yeah, he took it, so we don't.
And so we don't. So therefore, you commit murder. The only reason there's a consequence is because the state is not enlightened enough to realize you're forgiven.
Right.
You should go before the judge, and the judge would say, have you confessed that? Yes, I have.
Right.
Okay, you're free to go.
Right.
Or maybe people think, well, no, wait a minute, there are consequences in this life.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. Even God judges us, right? If we go out and we're involved in sexual immorality, Paul says that's a sin against your body, and God brings consequences. A lot of these sexually transmitted diseases and things.
Right.
But they will say, but nothing beyond this life.
Yeah.
Well, I get it. It would be cool if when we did something wrong and we confessed it, it would never come up in eternity.
Right.
It would never come up at the judgment seat of Christ. But if that's not true, isn't it helpful for us to know that?
It is helpful.
I mean, it would have a sobering impact on our lives, I would think.
So in what sense do you think are we forgiven? What difference does God's forgiveness make if it doesn't remove the consequences now and forever?
Okay, forgiveness is essentially a relationship, fellowship kind of idea. There's a restoration of our fellowship. Now, our relationship is forever, but enjoying that relationship is what we call fellowship.
Yeah.
And so when we confess our sins, we're in fellowship with God. Remember, David says, I guess it's Psalm 51, that when he kept silent about his sin with killing Uriah and adultery with Bathsheba, then his bones were aching.
Yeah.
But when he confessed his sins, he felt better and God forgave him. The interesting thing is, if you read 2 Samuel, in chapter 11, Nathan the prophet confronts him. And in chapters 12 through 24, there's calamity after calamity after calamity in the life of David.
Yeah.
All because of his adultery and murder. Now, God forgave him and he didn't die. He should have, according to the law of Moses, been put to death.
Mm-hmm.
So there was forgiveness, but there were consequences. And that's written up in the Bible, right?
Yeah.
So forever, David's sins, killing Uriah and adultery,
right,
that's in the permanent record.
It's not forgotten forever.
It's there forever.
Yeah.
Abraham passing off Sarah as his sister, that's in the permanent record.
So then what do you do with a verse like, you know, God says, I will remember their sins no more? It sounds like that's a lie. It sounds like God does remember.
Well, in Scripture, there's lots of anthropomorphisms.
Mm-hmm.
That's a figure of speech where God presents himself as though he's a man.
Yeah.
Okay, explain to our listeners, what does omniscience mean?
God knows everything that is true. Any proposition that is true, God knows it to be true.
Okay. And everything that's ever happened?
Yeah.
Everything that ever will happen?
Right. All those things would
And even every
truths.
Possible permutation he knows, right?
Yeah.
So how many things does God forget?
Well, that's a good question. Do we take God seriously and say, no, he really does not remember? Or is it, I mean, I don't know.
It's a figure of speech. It means he doesn't hold it against us in terms of fellowship.
So he does remember it. He just doesn't hold it against us.
That's what it means when he forgets.
And that makes sense.
And so when we think of that, we shouldn't be thinking, okay, somehow God has stopped being omniscient.
Right. So it's kind of like when you say, it's like, hey, thanks so much for like helping me change my tire. Right. Forget about it.
Right.
You're not saying, hey, make sure you take like some pills so you get amnesia about what just happened. You're just saying, you know, don't think about it.
Right.
You know, something. You're not in my debt or something.
Right, right.
So it's an expression.
And so when we think about the judgment seat of Christ, we need to realize that the scriptures say that our bad deeds will be considered.
Mm-hmm.
And that all that we do is going to be considered. And I would suggest that starts from the moment we're born again until we go to be with the Lord. I do not believe it takes into account anything we did before we were born again.
So God doesn't bring up those things.
Right. Whatever we did.
Why would that be
different? Okay, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, we were spiritually dead.
Uh-huh.
We lack the life of God. And so we begin the Christian life with a clean slate, and we're not held accountable for those former things except in this life. Obviously, if we committed a murder before we were born again, well, we're going to reap the consequences. The only exception I would make, Sean, is this. Let's say that you did something before you were born again that has hindered the rest of your life. Maybe you took serious drugs and you've messed your mind up.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're not really accountable for that because it was before you were born again, it's going to reduce your eternal rewards because now your giftedness has been reduced because of those things you did before. Now you can still lay up a lot of treasure in heaven. You can still rule with Christ.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be as effective as you could have been, which, by the way, should motivate us to say, you know what? I don't want to do drugs. I don't want to be an alcoholic. I don't want it. You know, I came out of an alcoholic family, and I've read a lot of the ACA books, the Adult Children of Alcoholics books, and I don't drink at all as a result of this. It's just I figure it's harder for me to become an alcoholic if I don't drink. Now, I don't have a problem if my friends drink. I don't have a problem with being around people
who
drink.
I'm drinking right now.
Exactly, but that's water. But okay.
I'm joking.
Yeah. But, you know, my point is it doesn't tempt me when people around me are having beer or wine or something else. It really doesn't bother me at all. But on the other hand, I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
And the reason is because there are consequences. So I've gone far astray.
Well,
but all I'm going to say is, if the reality is we're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ for our entire Christian life, then we need to get in line with that and say, you know what? I can't just confess something and make it go away.
Well, see, this is interesting because most people would say, once you believe in Jesus, you have a clean slate, period.
Right.
But what you're saying is, no, you just get a clean slate for everything up to the point of faith.
Exactly.
And so your main argument against the idea that we get a forever clean slate is this verse about good and bad deeds being brought up against.
Right, but you have all kinds of situations where in the parable of the minas, Jesus rebukes the third servant.
Mm-hmm.
In the parable of the just.
And he calls him a wicked servant.
Right, which would be evil or wicked.
Yeah.
And you have in Matthew 24, 45 to 51, you have this parable of the just and the unjust servant.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, my master delays his coming, and he begins to beat his fellow servants.
Right.
And he ends up experiences judgment from Christ after this life.
So those guys don't have clean slates.
No, there are consequences for what they did.
Mm-hmm.
That go beyond this life. They go to the judgment seat of Christ, and you see it in lots of passages. Now, of course, there is an alternative. The way most people would interpret those passages is they would say, oh, that refers to the great white throne judgment, and these people are being sent to the lake of fire.
Oh.
And so the people who were rebuked are unbelievers who are on their way to the lake of fire.
Okay.
To me, that's not a real comforting doctrine. To me, that is like the ultimate in rejection of John 3:16. Because John 3:16 is whoever believes in him will never perish, but has everlasting life.
Yeah.
We'll never hunger, we'll never thirst, we'll never die in a spiritual sense. We are secure forever at the moment of faith. But there are consequences. And so the free grace position, some people criticize us because they say, they call it cheap grace, easy believism,
right? License to sin.
License to sin. Truth is, the free grace position is the one that ultimately really holds people accountable. No, not everybody in free grace circles, by the way, agrees with these things I'm saying, but it seems to me it's clear in Scripture that we are accountable not only in this life, but at the judgment seat of Christ. And again, I encourage each of you to go to faithalone.org and look at that article I wrote. It's about a 20-page article, and you can check it out by either looking up Will the Sins of Believers Be Judged? Or just go to the May 3rd, 2021 blog. There's a link there to that article, and just click on it.
You have a longer article in the journal, something about negative consequences.
Yeah.
And that's a longer, if you want to go more in-depth. And there's also a book, What is the Outer Darkness?
Yeah, Hodges and I did. We were doing little recordings that we did together, and then those were transcribed into a book.
And so that talks about this idea that, yeah, there is accountability. Even though grace is free, even though God just gives you everlasting life, simply by believing in Jesus and you're forever secure from that second on, that doesn't mean God just ignores everything else that happens.
And let me say one other thing, Sean. If you're not persuaded by what I've said, if you're still convinced that once we confess our sins, they'll never be brought up at the judgment seat of Christ as deeds, they'll never be brought up as bad deeds, well, then that's what you believe, right? My challenge to you is simply to pray about it. Study the Scriptures, see if this is so. If you're convinced it's not so, fine. Then we don't have to agree. You can have one view, I can have another view. But my point is you ought to at least pray about it and meditate on it, because if this is true, it can have a positive impact in your life. It does for me. I find that this motivates me to realize everything I do matters. I can't just go out and commit some sins and say, well, you know what, but those are all kind of wiped away and forgotten because I've confessed them. And I don't view it that way, and I find that positive in my life. You may not, and if you don't, why not pray about it and just ask the Lord, could this be true? And then look at some of these passages like 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10, or Luke 19, 16 through 26, many other texts.
Well, thanks for those thoughts, Bob, and please look up those resources we mentioned, and we will see you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On our Monday edition, we're going to talk about temptation and when it becomes a sin in the mind. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.